Gracious God in heaven, we come before you this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you, dear Lord God. Father, I know even in Africa, Jackie and I have seen churches, Heavenly Father, congregations where they meet under trees, Heavenly Father. We've been in other situations, Heavenly Father, just likewise with people. We're blessed here in America. And my prayer, Heavenly Father, is that we're great stewards over that which you've given us, even this opportunity. I think about the underground churches in China where they can't come together openly like we are doing here. So, Father, I just thank you that our ears are open to all that you're speaking to us. And, Father, that you will give me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that may be weary, Father God, and that today my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and the manifestation of your spirit and of power, life-transforming power, dear Lord God. My prayer is that people will leave here not in the same way they came in. I pray not for New Day alone, our church, but right next door is Corona Friends. We pray for Pastor John. We pray for North Point down the street, Heavenly Father. We pray for the Presbyterian Church, the Vietnamese Church, dear Lord God, the Anglican Church. We pray for Crossroads, Father God. Pour your spirit out upon Corona. Glory and honor, they belong only to you. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that saying,
amen.
Amen. Well, our sermon title this series is He Bought Us Out to Bring Us In. When I was a little boy, I saw a video. I love cars. You guys know I love cars, especially fast cars. And you guys like your Rolls Royces and your Bentleys and your BMWs. And that's cool. I'm not knocking that. Last Sunday, somebody said, Pastor, you spoke against my car. I got to go sell it now. No. I just like the fast and the Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and all that, okay? But I saw this video. I saw this movie a long time ago. But it's a part of it I thought about this week. And I think it really sets the tone for us, okay? Here's a guy, they're getting ready to start their race. They're going to race across the country, okay? So they're all the cars revving up. But this one guy who talked about how Italians drive really blessed me. Can we play, turn the lights down and play that video clip, please?
And now, my friend, the first rule of Italian driving. What's behind me is not important.
All right, okay. So let's get into that. He said, what's behind me is not important. So the sermon is He Bought Us Out to Bring Us In. This is part three. And our scriptural text for this series is Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. And Exodus means coming out, okay? Verse 7, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Look at verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt, say out of Egypt, into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. And so what I want to share with you is this. Don't doubt the future that God has for you. Don't doubt the future that God has for you. May I have the next picture, please? This is how a lot of us live our lives. We finally get free. We come out of Egypt. You know, last week we talked about coming out of the village. You know, and today we're going to talk about coming out of Sodom. Now, you know, here's the thing. We've come out. We're excited, and we're going down this road. It's a path, a road that the Lord has made open for us. But one of the things that we just have a tendency to do, we're looking at rearview mirror. And if you think about it, that rearview mirror shows just how rough our past was, that difficult road that we were on. But for some reason, that just attracts us. I mean, and we just can't take our eyes off of it. We think about it. We get hung up in it. And we lose out on the future that God has for us. And when we contrast those two, that future, that big windshield, it looks a whole lot better than a dirty, bumpy road that we just got off of. And many of us, we cry out, you know, Pastor, I'm on this bumpy road. Pastor, it's difficult for me. Pastor, I need help. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, lay hands on me. Pastor, cast this demon out of me. No, nobody said that. but we want to move forward. But yet, we just seem so attracted to the past. And for some reason, it grabs our attention. It holds on to us. Now, I'm going to challenge you guys with something. It's just a term we want to use today. Forward focus. Forward focus. Say that after me, please.
Forward focus.
You know, okay, all right. Okay, can y'all just like halfway act like you happen to be here today? Just you know, my wife and others, they got that people style. You know, they like engaging with the people. You know, I'm more the introvert, quiet type. Today, I'm going to be people-oriented. So I need some feedback today. How about that, okay? Now, you see, y'all the blessed service. Y'all slip in. The 9 o'clock service, they got it early. That's what people got here at 7 something to get everything set up. I get them, been, come on, y'all, wake up. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, forward focus. God wants better for you. That's why he delivered you. That's why he delivered you. And some of you right now, you say, well, I'm still stuck in a situation where he got you out the last one. He'll get you out of this one too. He bought you out of Egypt. Remember that? He bought you out of that village. We talked about that. And the reason he bought you out is to take you into a better place. Well, today we're going to talk about someone named Lot. And let me give you a little bit of background with him. So after the flood, after God had flooded the earth, you know, and he saved Noah, Noah and his sons, they began to repopulate the earth. And then, you know, years, a whole lot of years down the line, we have this guy named Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. Now, here's the thing about Abram. God said explicitly and clearly to him, get away from your country, get away from your kinfolk, and get away from your father's house to a land I will show you. Now, Abraham's father, he had some issues. He really did. His name is Terah, and we'll do that some other time. But the thing that happened within Abraham's family is that Abraham's brother, Haran, he died. And, you know, especially if someone dies young, that's tragic. Someone died young. Okay, and Haran, when he died, he had a son named Lot. And so the general thought is, just like I mentioned before, like for Jackie and myself, I have a brother. His name is Mike. Mike is 9 years younger than me. Mike has two little boys, Miles and Matthew. If something was to happen to Mike and his wife, Carol, guess who would take care of the boys? Tony and Jackie. And you guys be saying, oh, look at Pastor. He's so sweet. Look at him and Miss Jackie. They just taking care of their family. It's a very noble thing to do. But is it what God said to do? And even though it's a noble thing to do, we still got to say, but God, where are you in this and what's going on? Too many times we do what we feel is right and all that, and we find ourselves in situations that shouldn't be. In fact, let me just share this one with you. And I've said it before, I think, when we were back in the school. My brother is married to Carol right now. His first wife, Robin, passed away, and she had just given birth to a little boy, Miles. And Miles, I think she held Miles once. And it was tragic in my family. It was just devastating. Okay, it just was. But anyway, Robin, sweet person. Sweet, she was a sweetie. So Robin and Mike had just gotten married. Now, and many of you guys already know, I'm not just honoring my father, speaking disparagingly of him, but he was an alcoholic. I mean, a serious alcoholic, okay? And so now we're all adults, and anyway, Robin's new to the family, and she wants to connect. She wants to connect, and my daddy cracked a couple of jokes with her, and all that's all she needed. Now she's in, okay? I'm looking on the sideline like, you don't know what you just stepped into. Bless you, child. But anyway, Mike and Robin, they get married, and they're doing good. They had one of them mushy. They're always touching each other. Every time you see them, they're holding hands. One of them kind of relationships, amen? Okay. So my father's situation was such that I suggested to him that he move to Louisiana just, you know, because all he had was Social Security, and we knew somebody back there he could live in a nice apartment with that a church had. You know, it was the best deal for him financially. And him and my mom wouldn't get along anyway. He probably never should have reconciled, but whatever, okay? So my dad's on his way back, and he's very sick, and he hadn't taken his medicine. So on the I-10, he was outside of Odessa, Texas. On the 20 outside of Odessa, he just passes out while he's driving. The car comes to a stop, and praise God that a big rig guy came and blocked traffic, got out, and made sure it was okay. They called the police and the paramedics and all that. They came and got my father. So, of course, they scroll through your cell phone and see what the last number you call, and they call my brother. My brother Mike calls me. It's like 4 a.m. Tony, Daddy's in Odessa. And yada, he's telling me what's going on. I'm like, okay, and I can hear Robin in the background. We got to go get Daddy. We got to go get Daddy. We got to go get Daddy. And I said, you know, hold up. Let's just really pray this through. You don't want to be so quick to jump into something. And, and all you guys that tease me now, that's like Pastor always saying, what is God doing? What are you trying to show me? Okay, yeah, I was doing that way before I started pastoring, okay? And I told my brother Robin, hey, just hold on a second. Let's figure out what's going on, okay? A few hours later, Mike calls me. And I hear noise in the background. I said, you on the road? He said, yeah, me and Robin, and we got cousin Mark. We're going to get Daddy. All right. I'll holler at y'all later. You got this. So they go to Odessa. They get Daddy in the car, bring him back home. Now, where's Daddy going to stay? Because he ain't staying with Tony. And he ain't staying with my mama because my mama moved out. So deductive reasoning, where's he going to stay with Mike and Robin? Oh, Robin's happy now, okay? Got Daddy. He's going to take care of Daddy. She don't know what she set herself up for. And first week, it was good. But see, old habits die hard. And somehow or another, even though he didn't have a car, oh, he found a liquor store. And then before you know it, and he was hiding it good, he was hiding it good. Oh, he can hide it, he can hide it. But then before you know it, the bottles are out. And then before you know it, it's just getting disrupted. She's coming home, the house is a mess, and there's Daddy. And she calls me one day. She calls me. Wait, this was funny. What we gonna do? We told you, pump your brakes. Now you got a situation. I don't know what y'all gonna do. That's on you and Mike. Y'all like, Pastor Tony's cold. Yeah, whatever. I grew up with him. I knew better. But we have a situation where sometimes we have a family situation like Abraham and Lot did, where the brother died, and then his son, Abraham, decided to take care of Lot. Now, what did God say? Get away from your country, your kinfolk. And that Lot is a kinfolk, right? No, that's not good English, but Lot is a kinfolk. And God said, get away. But Abraham takes him. So they get to going. And then all of a sudden, you know, Lot, he has cattle, he has sheep and all that kind of stuff. And they have to separate because they have so much and the sheep and all that have to be taken care of. So they go down to the valley. They look out and Abraham said, you choose where you want to go because we got to separate. And he chooses the plain. And next thing we know that he's in the city Sodom. Now, the name Sodom represents what the activity that went on in that city. Y'all got it? They're all adults, right? Okay, right, okay. And so here's Lot in that city. Now, Abraham cares about him. A couple of times, Abraham has to go and rescue Lot. Okay? All right. Maybe he should have left Lot back home where God originally had for him. But anyway, so he rescues Lot. But this particular time, God is going to destroy Sodom. And so some angels are coming down to wipe the city out. And Abraham hears about it. He begins to pray. If there's anybody righteous in the city, will you save them? And eventually the angels go down and they find Lot and they say, look, get your family, get your wife, and get your daughters, and let's get out of here, okay? And they're getting out of Dodge. Now, before they left, though, the men in the city were so wicked. Let me tell you how wicked it was. Because the men saw the angels and went and knocked on Lot's door and said, bring the men out because we want them. Understand? Now, that's wickedness right there. That's wickedness right there. So now we have a New Testament passage I want you to see, okay? Remember, the message title is, He Bought You Out to Bring You In. God is going to bring Lot out, but let's take a look at Lot from the New Testament perspective. Then we're going to go to the Old Testament to see the actual story. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. And verse 6 says this, later God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. Look at 7, please. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom. See, he bought him out. God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Your environment matters. Verse 8, yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul. The word soul is the word psyche. His mind, his will, emotion. He was tormented by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So here's this guy in his demonic situation, literally. And so God is going to go down. He sent the angels down to rescue him, to pull him out of that situation because he's going to destroy the city. So now let's go to Genesis and look at the actual event, okay? So the men are coming, beating on the door, and like, bring out those angels. And what happens is that Lot actually went out and said, look, don't bother these men. I'll actually give you my virgin daughters. Whew. The man's like, we don't want them. That's some wickedness. That's some serious perversion. So what happens is the angel steps out, and he blinds everybody, okay? And then they tell Lot, get your family. We about to blow this place up, my translation, okay? So we're going to pick this up in verse 17, Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. It says, when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back. And see, this is the problem is, we running for our lives. He said, run for your life. You have to participate in this process of getting out of your crazy situation. You know, I don't know, some of us got this thing I need to see. Some of us have this perspective of life. Anthony, let me borrow your seat for a minute, okay, bro? All right. Amen. I'm going to leave the guitar alone. I'm just going to bother the seat. And some of us like this, how we're doing life. All right, God, you got to hook a brother up. You got to help me. This marriage is tough, you know, and these kids are just running crazy. I ain't got no money, you know, the job market is tight. I don't care what they saying about this economy. It ain't happening for me. I need you to just hook me up, Lord. Yeah, just hook me up. Lord, I need, I don't know, Lord, the job skills they looking for out here, I just need some new skills. And you're not doing anything. You need to run for your life. I need you to really think about that for a moment. You need to run. You need to do your part. You need to do your part. And some of us, we got that victim mentality, like, oh, just take me, Jesus. Take me, Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. I get it. It's been hard, and you're tired, and you know, and but you better stand up. You better put one foot in front of the other. You got to participate in this process. You need to leave that crazy stuff. Sometimes there's something physically you need to do, and sometimes you just need to change your stinking thinking about the situation that you're in. You know, it's easy to play the victim. Being a victor requires responsibility. We got to move from victimhood to the place of responsibility. We do that. And then, you know, I do an exercise when I do some of my leadership classes. It's called fact versus meaning. Fact, whatever the traumatic thing happened to you, fact, that happened. You choose the meaning you attach to it. My father, one day, and this is really bad, but the alcoholism. So we're going to Chicago. I'm 12. How old are you in the eighth grade? 12? 13. I was 13. 13. So we're in a truck. We borrowed another pastor's truck. We're driving from L.A. to Chicago, and he made me pour him his gin. And so, you know, and he's down in the gym while we're driving this road. I think we're like in Arizona or somewhere. I think we took the 40, if I'm not mistaken, to get up there. So we're driving. And all of a sudden, I can tell he's drunk. But now in hindsight, I know what he does. He takes the center median. It's on a two-lane highway back in the day. And he drives straight down. And I think that's how he was trying to stay on the road. Well, cars that were coming at us was running off the road. Now, I'm his son in the car, and he's drinking. And it's like, he could have killed me. So, you know, and I forgot about that. Then something triggered it. You know, we talked about triggers yesterday in the men's fellowship. Something triggered and it came back up. But now, fact, my father got drunk with me in a car, drunk driving. That's the fact. So I could test the meaning of he doesn't care about me. He's thoughtless. He's cold-hearted. What kind of man would do this? What kind of father is he? Yeah, that's valid too, isn't it? But I choose to test this meaning. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. You pull me out of that. You'll pull me out the next time somebody's neglectful in a relationship with me. You deliver me then, you'll deliver me now. That's a victory. Hallelujah, Father. Fact versus meaning. You choose the meaning you attach to that situation. Everything that I've encountered like that, and I look back on it, I'm standing here today, means the Lord has delivered me out of it. He has. I've done some crazy, some of the stuff, it wasn't just my daddy. I made some dumb choices. A lot of dumb choices. And if these young kids went in, I would tell y'all. Verse 17, I'm just teasing, okay. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back. That's one of the things we do. We look back. What are you looking at? As horrendous and as disgusting as it was, why do you look back? Cracks me up. Everybody, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to step on some toes now. Y'all ought to leave your church, your other church. I ain't growing, Pastor. It wasn't happening for me there, Pastor. It wasn't doing this. But then every other Sunday, you go back there. It's like, okay, what do you say? Help me, Jesus. And don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. The things written in the Old Testament were written for our example. That's what it tells us in Corinthians, and it tells us that in Romans. They were written for our example, for our learning. So if you got somebody out of a difficult situation and the angel said, run, don't look back, maybe just in my life, I need to be running forward and not looking back. But like that picture I showed you earlier, big old beautiful paved road, sky blue, that represents God, Holy Spirit, your future is bright. You looking back at the dirt road you were on. You looking back at all the vegetation that was growing. What is that? Why do we do that? He bought us out to bring us in. He's bringing me out the dirty road to take me to. Why am I looking at the dirty road? Why am I still on that bumpy road? Why back when the road was bumpy, I'm saying the city need to do something about this. They need to pave the road. Somebody, okay, now you're on a paved road. Why do we look back? What is so attractive about that? Let me have the verse, the scripture back, please. And don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. That's the other thing, too. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking through it. I didn't come here to stay. I came in to walk through it. Some of us, we stop. We set up camp. We build house. No. You don't stay there. You keep moving through it. You keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. Please keep moving forward. I know it's dark. I know it looks crazy. Keep going forward. And what did Jesse Jackson say? Keep hope alive. Do what you got to do. Be forward thinking, please. And don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. You'll be swept away. And I don't want you to be swept away. It's just as your pastor. I want the best for you, just like the Lord does. Verse 18. Oh, no, my Lord, Lot begged. You have been so gracious to me and saved my life, and you have shown such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would catch up to me there, and I would soon die. That's a whole nother message. It's so funny how we tell God what's best for us. We tell this is so funny. The clay tells the potter, yo, this is how I need you to make me. Verse 20, see, there's a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be saved. All right, the angel said, I will grant you your request. I will not destroy the little village, but hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. This explains why that village was known as Zoar, which means little place. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. Verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. Let me have the windshield back up there. Here's the thing. I'm looking forward. Because my future is brighter than my past. I'm looking ahead. I'm laying hold to the promises of God. I think about how he's healed me and delivered me, how he set me free, and what he's brought me through. And whatever situation or difficulty I get involved in, or something that comes my way, I know he's going to do the same. And that's the thing I call up. One something I did in the first service, I'll just explain. No, let's do it. Let me have someone. Who wants to volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Oh, come on up, man. No, you in first service. No. Okay, come on up, Miss Tony. Come on up. Yeah, okay. No, only because you know you were in first service, right? Okay. Yeah, it's cool, but thank you. You weren't in first service, right?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, amen. Wait, she said, I'm trusting you. So funny. Now, wait, there's your husband right now. I ain't going to start nothing, okay? He's bigger than me. I don't want to get beat up today, okay? Can you imagine being on the news, pastor beat up in church? Okay. Now, what I want you to do, okay? Think back to a time, something difficult, traumatic, something that just was just so painful to you. Just give me a time. And don't tell me what it is. I just want you to recall it, okay? You got it in your head? You remember that incident? Is it clear to you? Okay, what are you feeling? Alone? Okay. How does being alone impact you? How is that? Going back there, how is that? What is that like? What are you going through? What are you experiencing? Scary. Scary alone. Okay, got it, okay? Now, right now I want you to give me a time that's just been over the top, something so successful. Give me the time you were just on top of your game. All the lights were green on the streets and the sky was blue, sun shining. Give me, okay, you're smiling. What you smiling? You remember that? Okay, what are you feeling right now?
Hopeful.
Just like that. She went from that loneliness, fear, to hopefulness. And all you did was switch what you was thinking about. It's not that deep. Amen. Pastor, pray! Change your thinking. Change what you're thinking about. I go back to my victories. I do. When looking deep, because if you let me overcome then, you're going to let me overcome now. The same God that delivered me then is going to deliver me there. Give Miss Marie a hand, please. Thank you. But now we got Lot's wife. Now here's the thing. She's with her husband. It says she was following him, right? She's with her daughters. The family is with her. What is she looking at? What is she looking back for? And it wasn't just a looking back, it was a longing. It wasn't just like, oh, she's looking, she's like, oh, they get, no, it was like, boom. That's what happens with a lot of us. Your life gravitates towards your dominant thoughts. That's why I watch what I think about. I choose my thoughts. So even when crazy stuff happens, I choose what meaning I attach to it. It really ain't that deep. And that's what we need to do, not look back. The windshield is much bigger than a rearview mirror. Why are you staring at that small thing? That's something that should be getting smaller the farther you get, you move away from it. Why does it attract us so? And I tell you why, because we put a certain value on it. And from when we were going through those difficult times, you know, it's when your faith comes in. You're going to have to trust that what God has for you is bigger than the pain of your past. You're going to have to trust that what God has for you is bigger than any person in your past. Because sometimes you're in a relationship and it breaks up and you guys have been divorced, you think like life is over. No, okay, like it was a husband. And let's say he was a halfway decent guy. There's still like 3 billion other men out there. Out of 3 billion, you can't find. God can't direct you to one or direct one to you. Come on, where's your hope? Where are you believing? Immediately he can. Why do we keep choosing things that are detrimental? Other thing too, last thing, in next car, okay, you're driving your car right now. And moms, I really want to talk to you for a minute. You're driving your car right now. I hear, God done bought you out, a crazy situation, God has bought you out, okay? Whatever yours is, bought you out. And yet you keep looking back, And I'm going to tell you something, if you keep looking back, you're going to crash. And everybody in that car is going to get damaged. Because you kept looking in the past. And now you got these injured kids. See, a lot of us parent based on our past. I said in first service is this, and I mean this. Parents, for your children, raise your children properly. If you do that right, you're going to get some grandkids that you can spoil. If you spoil your children based on your past and how you're going to parent, you spoil your children, don't hold them accountable. You just need them to love you. You need them to validate you. If you raise your children like this, bring them up like that, if you spoil them that way and don't hold them accountable, then you're going to end up raising your grandchildren. Because your kids, they're not going to be competent, able to raise their own kids. They're going to keep acting childlike. Even though they're 35 years old, got hair on their chest, muscles on top of muscles, they're going to act like they're 6-7 years old still. And then that child, those children are going to fall on you. And then in your latter years, when you should have been looking forward, guess what you're doing? You're still stuck on past stuff. The past really influences us. When God said, get away, you need to get away. You need to parent with purpose. What were your children created to do? Stop idolizing them. Because they make you feel, oh, I've had women tell me, I don't know what I'm going to do when they grow up. Why don't you know? All your job was to do was to raise them and prepare them and release them in a purpose. And if we don't do that with our boys are going to grow up ill-equipped. They're going to marry some women. And women are like, he just doing it. Okay. Because of the power of the past. Forward focus. Forward focus. God brought you out to bring you in. Focus on what he's bringing you into. A large space, a place where it's flowing with milk and honey, a place where you got pomegranates that's real large. He said he would just rain down blessings upon us. He said he wants to do a new thing in our life. Forget about the former things. Let the former things go and move towards that which he wants to bless you with. That's what we need to do. Focus on that. He said, he clearly says, when you're obedient, when you love him, when you walk in righteousness, he will bless you. He's never seen a righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. He said this also, that when we walk in our righteousness, integrity of our righteousness, our children will be blessed after us. He said, when I'm obedient, everything I put my hand to, he will command a blessing upon it. He said, I'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when I come in, blessed when I go out. Everything I do will be blessed. I want to live like that. So I don't have to look at the past. My future is so amazingly bright. I'm focusing on that. And I'm trusting that and believing that. It's going to get better. I don't care what the economy does. I don't care if the next president is Republican or Democrat. Don't matter, because nothing can stop the glory of the Lord. I'm going to get what's coming to me. He will rescue me and pull me out. This whole country can go to hell. I'm going to heaven. He saved Noah. He saved Lot. He's saving everybody. He's going to save Tony, too. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. So that's my expectation. So, yeah, bad stuff has happened. But guess what? It belongs in the past. And I'm going to rip my rearview mirror, throw it over my shoulder, because what's behind me does not matter. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Your word is alive. It's a living thing and will not return unto you void, Heavenly.